While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you do not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." The Gospel of the Lord. St. Paul, in speaking of the Christian life, will compare it to seed that is sown as perishable, but that grows up to be imperishable. St. Paul, of course, is following the Master, Jesus Christ, who in many different parables speaks in so many words about how the kingdom of God is like seed sown. Every human life lived on this earth will eventually have to return to it. Every single one of us is perishable, including the achievements of our life, what we build, what we aspire to. And Jesus makes sure that we understand that no matter what happens externally in this world, however world historically dramatic, our life has infinitely more value. The decisions that we make have an eternal quality to them when they are made for the good, and the fruit that the Lord will draw from them is boundless. The good of our lives will outlive our earthly lives. And we see that in a very mysterious way today in the life of Catherine of Alexandria, who, although in these days is not as well known as other saints, in the early church, she was tremendously well known and was a deep inspiration. And in the story of her life, there are qualities that only emerge many, many years after her earthly life. So she comes from Alexandria, which in the ancient world was known for its amazing library that burned to the ground. But Catherine was seen to have embodied the wisdom of God, which is greater than any great library. And even when her life was threatened with destruction, she was not intimidated. The church remembers her as having addressed her witness to the emperor, which in a certain way is true of all of us, whether we would get our invitation to the corridors of power or not. What we decide to do with our lives is a public witness. To follow the priorities of Christ regardless of what the cost is an adventure greater than whatever the daily drama of politics. In the first reading, we see that even the emperor must surrender power every single day, the power of not being able to be awake all the time. And the Lord gives the emperor a dream. Nebuchadnezzar has the dream of the figure with all the parts. And the emperor isn't able to come up with the meaning of it all, and so needs a prophet, in this case Daniel, which means that when we seek the meaning the Lord wishes to give to our lives, when we meditate on this meaning, when we propose this meaning, we are doing a great world historical thing. It is something infinitely more powerful than brute force. In any case, the meaning of the dream is that the kingdoms are going to be divided, there's going to be factionalism, etc., etc. Jesus in the gospel reassures us that that's going to continue taking place. But here's where Catherine comes back again. The instrument of torture that was meant to be hers was what's come to be known as the Catherine wheel. And so in many, many medieval portraits, there Catherine is with that spiked wheel. And we ask ourselves, why would anybody want to kill somebody that way? Because all of the instruments of martyrdom, in one way or another, are the world's attempt to shut down the meaning of Christ, to mock the plans of God. And so in the case of the wheel, in the ancient world, the Wheel of Fortune, not a game show, but actually a reflection on life. In the ancient world, life was seen to be an endless series of cycles of ups and downs. You could be at the top of the heap, the top of the wheel, and all of a sudden, something could happen, and you fall to the bottom and are crushed by the wheel. The spiked wheel was meant to impale and shred Catherine on its turning. In a certain sense, to throw brute life at her and to say, this is life, honey. Don't aspire to much. Shrink back from great things. Live in fear. Settle for something less. And Catherine refused all of those temptations. She lived for Christ. Her virginity, which is to say, her powers of waiting in joyful hope for a consummation she couldn't come up with on her own, that power of joyful hope continued into the very gift of her life. And her death was anything but meaningless. It was saturated with meaning. She wanted to be with Christ in his dying and to be with Christ in his rising. And so in the depiction of Catherine, she's holding the shattered wheel, a fragment of the Wheel of Fortune that would have done her in. We should reflect deeply on her life and ask that we be given the gifts that she was given. The gift of dreaming great things from the heart of God. the gift of receiving the meaning of our life from Christ, the gift of spending our life for the Lord, even including public witness, and refusing to see our life as a cog in anybody else's machine. Chestertonians, you are the tip of the spear. You are a spinning wheel greater than anything that could have shredded the martyrs, because your life together is moving through time into eternity. Think of G.K. Chesterton laughing at the spinning of the wheel. The antidote to being the cog in the machine is to be the saint, the one who waits in joyful hope, the one who spends one's life joyfully and without reserve for the great things of Christ. The library may burn down, the library may be given away, but the whole wisdom of God can dwell in us bodily as surely as it dwelt in the womb of the Virgin Mary, as surely as it dwelt in Catherine. We are alive today, our lives spinning not out of control, but in a ceaseless prayer through time to Christ, the Lord of eternity.